From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 27th, 2011. Each week this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Do you remember when you had the aha moment with GIS, when all of a sudden it made sense? Do you remember the joy and the excitement? On the flip side, do you recall the most challenging time in your work with GIS? What did you learn from, and what did you do next to take advantage of these situations? This week, Joe and I will share our stories. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Join us for a free U.S. nationwide seminar to learn how to extend the reach of your GIS. Get more information and register today at esri.com/extendyourreach.
All right, Joe, you get to go first. What was your story of sort of that aha moment when GIS clicked and you went, oh, I get it?
Yeah, this is a very interesting topic, and I hope our listeners will respond, because I think it's a great way to maybe incite enthusiasm for those who are not quite getting it. But I was very fortunate in the beginning of my career. I worked at a place where I was dealing with the people who were pioneering this stuff. And this was at the U.S. Geological Survey's Aeros Data Center. And we were actually doing GIS perhaps before it was called GIS. I do remember that there was a copy of ArcInfo, but to be honest, it was used by drafters. And we were the guys who were supposed to make this all click with remotely sensed data and using image processing. And whereas today, sometimes we think of the two were different, back then, remote sensing and using raster data was GIS. We were doing the modeling, and I was learning at the feet of the people. People come to mind, Don Lauer, who was the chief of the Aeros Data Center, great scientist in his own right, and then people like Dave Greenlee and Tom Loveland and Brian Bailey, who were essentially my mentors in doing GIS. And they were teaching us, and I think that's really what your question implies is that somehow somebody had to bring to light to you, where was that aha moment? And these people were teaching me what to do with putting layer upon layer upon layer and then letting you know that GIS can take care of the answer. But as scientists, we had to really understand what we were doing with each of the different layers. And for us, it was geology. And then, of course, technically, it was using the remotely sensed information. And so we were doing project after project. And to some degree, we were pioneering the field. And I felt very fortunate to be in that venue. But in a little different twist to your question, one of the lights went on later on down the road, a few years later, when I was working at Sun Exploration as a professional geologist in oil exploration. And I was at a turning point in my career where I had to make a choice whether to go to the scientific path or whether to go to a business path. And I chose the business path and went back to school to get my MBA at Southern Methodist in Dallas. And I was trying to combine my interest in mapping, which I had been doing for a number of years, and business. And I picked up a copy of American Demographics magazine, which was a great publication at the time, not very widely distributed, but for somebody who was interested in combining map-based data, which of course American Demographics was all about, and the love of technology, the light went on for me to combine the two interests. And I said, you know, this mapping stuff could be used for business. And that's when I started getting very interested in the applications of GIS for business. So this was in the 87, 88, 89 time frame when I was in school. And so I know we were going to discuss what we did thereafter in terms of how to follow up on this. Well, I started writing. In fact, the very first thing I published ever was an article in the Dallas Business Journal about how geography could be applied to business. So the light went on in the business sense, so over 20 years ago. But again, I was fortunate in my career to learn at the feet of the people who were pioneering this stuff.
It's interesting. It was sort of this, it sounds like at Aeros, it was sort of this sort of continuous growth of an understanding of GIS that took place over some time while you were there.
Yeah, absolutely. And under many different disciplines, we were geologists, but we were working with foresters, soil scientists, people who were in a variety of disciplines, all under the same roof. And eventually, of course, our part of our mission was to teach this stuff. And we would be teaching courses in to domestic people from all different agencies, USGS, USDA, Forest Service. And then, of course, we taught internationally, too. We would be bringing in people from Europe and Saudi Arabia and Sudan and a variety of places, I remember specifically. And to teach that stuff certainly fostered our understanding of what we were doing as scientists.
Well, I think you make a really important point, and that's that sometimes it is not a moment where you snap your fingers and it comes together. It takes a long time, and I'm going to suggest that perhaps the click that you had when reading American Demographics, and I share your excitement about that publication because I used to read it in print, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah, sure.
But I don't think you could have gotten to that point with the idea of GIS and business had you not had all of that experience back at Aeros.
Oh, well, absolutely, yeah, and that was a critical moment because we were in a as I said in a division of the USGS that was really doing some very innovative things, and you know it was the dawn of GIS, and it was only less than 10 years down the road since Landsat had been launched, and it was an exciting time.
I have a very different kind of experience that I remember because I can nail down to the moment sort of where I was and what I was doing when I sort of said, oh, okay. And I was in a very different situation than you. I was working at a consulting firm. I was working at Arthur D. Little, and we were just exploring this thing called GIS. And I was in the Earth Science and Engineering group. And my primary tool that I used was AutoCAD. I was drawing maps in AutoCAD. And being the only one who had any kind of geographic background, I was the one sort of doing the research. And this was way back in 89, 90, mm-hmm. Very early. And so some different vendors came, and I visited with some vendors. But it was a visit from Strategic Mapping. And those are the folks who made Atlas GIS that really made the impression on me. And they came in and they showed me this demo. The reason that it really struck me was it was the first time I really made that connection between the data's in the spreadsheet and the spreadsheet drives the map.
Yeah.
So that worked. And the other half of it that was so important to me was that for the first time it felt like I could actually do that. Why? Because I knew how to use spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm.
Because we used spreadsheets in our work in the consulting firm. So it didn't seem like this far-off, scary, foreign thing. It seemed like this building on what you already knew kind of thing.
Right, right.
And sadly, while I wanted to move forward and use this particular tool because I thought we could really do a lot very quickly, we didn't end up taking that path, and it was quite circuitous. But that was the moment where I think I thought, this is what I want to do. I want to play with this stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. Strategic Mapping came on my radar somewhere about that same time frame, maybe a little earlier, about the 80s, 1987 time frame. And it's probably spurred a couple of things at the time. I was, again, working for the oil company. And one of our technical guys who was essentially supporting us in remote sensing actually had this idea that, well, maybe we can do something different with vector data. And he actually took it upon himself to design a system that married AutoCAD and DBase. And we eventually designed a system called GeoMap. And to me, it was one of the first desktop mapping systems that was of that ilk that tried to combine two different programs. Talk about integration. Way back when, that was unheard of. And while the company never spun it out, I believe there was a consulting company we were working with that I did believe spun it out, but you never heard from it again. But it was one of those things where one of the light bulbs went on, oh my goodness, what are we doing here? And it was hard to do. Let's put it that way. The integration story was hard, but marrying two separate programs that had nothing to do with each other was truly unique.
And back then, we didn't have the rich APIs to do that.
No.
We really had a bang, and the same kinds of programs, I think, were written probably all over the world, connecting your favorite database or spreadsheet to some kind of visualization tool like AutoCAD. A couple bubbled up here in New England as well, and were never heard from again. But yes, that was one of those early times. Well, let's flip over to the other side, the downside of our careers, and look at sort of a challenging moment in working with GIS.
Yeah, this one's an easy one for me because I had the opportunity to help design a GIS program. This was GeoMedia from Intergraph, and I sat on the team that was of the design phase, along with Hal Espy, who is still at Intergraph, and Hal Reed. And we were charged with coming up with the ArcView killer. Not only did we evaluate ArcView, but all of the other GIS, desktop GIS systems around. And what was challenging was take it from the user perspective. We were well along the path of GIS in the use and in the hands of users, that although most of the systems were Minivacs based, that we had to design something for the desktop, and that was challenging. And not only that, what were the workflow that we would wanted people to go down and to find easy? In other words, make that user-friendly type of that software that was really valuable to somebody that got you further down the path of actually doing GIS without having to strain and understand a lot of the underpinnings of it. So it was challenging from just putting it all together and putting the design together. And then, of course, down the road, what happened was, of course, like the entire project got derailed because all of a sudden Intergraph found out that they had no replacement for MGE, and GeoMedia eventually became that. So we never got to create our killer app, at least our killer market app. We did help design it, and that was challenging, frustrating. I'm not sure it was rewarding, but challenging for sure.
Can you identify some things that you learned from that experience that you took away?
Without a doubt, it was sitting in and trying to understand not just the typical workflow, somebody who was doing desktop mapping, but actually designing the forms and the interfaces, the visualization part of what a wizard would be. And then going back and seeing how other people did it in other desktop mapping programs. So we not only had to understand the science of the answer, in other words, if you were doing demographic analysis or any type of overlay analysis, but you had to understand computer programming to the degree that you had to tell the computer programmers what they needed to focus on.
And that's actually one of those things that I think is sort of coming back around now that we're really looking at, is that whole interface and how you interact with these powerful, powerful tools to get the work done. And it seems like we're still doing a lot of that work that you were doing back then.
Well, I think what we're trying to do is make it much simpler, but using much more complicated algorithms. One example I'll give is I've had the chance to sit down and look at Erdas's software. What you can do with image processing these days is amazing to me compared to what we used to be able to do. Because a lot of what we used to do in the mid-80s was command line driven, and we had to know 100 plus commands. But the workflow is so much easier there, and they've really put it together. And I'm just using Erdas as an example. Imagine. But it's fantastic of how far we've come.
One of the most challenging things that I had to do involved a benchmark. And I was rarely involved in benchmarks in my work at ESRI, since I was sort of in technical marketing most of my career there. But somehow I ended up sort of being the lead, the herder of cats for this particular benchmark, which basically had every possible client hooking up to, at that time, SDE. And it was, there's a lot of CAD data involved, which is how I got drawn into it. So not only did I have to make sure that we did everything that was called for in the benchmark, I had to manage this team of four or five specialists in each of the different clients that was talking to SDE and get all the hardware. And one of the real odd things was we had to run AutoCAD on an HP UX machine. So mm-hmm. we had to get AutoCAD on tape and install it, and which is very foreign to me. I had never run AutoCAD on anything but a PC. And so there was that whole aspect of it, just the technical side. There was managing this team of people who thankfully were far more experienced than I was. And then there was the culmination of this project, which was actually showing the client that we could do all these things. And the one thing that I've taken away from that experience is when you're working on a benchmark and they say, that, and one of the list says, one, show us this, two, show us this, three, show us this, you almost need to give them a roadmap of how you're going to walk through all those things. And what we did was to, in a sense, just put that back and say, you asked us to show you how AutoCAD on HP UX connects up with SDE. We're going to show you that right now. Okay, now we're going to move on to this client talking to SDE. And really sort of had to choreograph that. I have to say, it was one of the more stressful times in my life trying to knit all those things together. But this idea of a sort of choreography, I was so pleased. I thought we totally nailed it. And sadly, it was one of those government things where you do the benchmark and you think it's 100% and then it doesn't get funded and all you take away from it was what you learned from the benchmark.
Right.
No money
right.
actually comes in. But good stuff and a really good experience. Something took away. I learned a lot about leadership and that maybe I don't want to be that person doing the coordination.
Mm, right.
Which is
right.
very valuable too.
You brought up the situation when you worked at Arthur D. Little and perhaps it was in a contemporary situation right about that time, and I remember specifically the date. It was 1990. I think it was even Valentine's Day. When I was at Arthur D. Little, and I was working for Tydeck at the time, and what we were trying to do was they were having a little workshop on GIS. And what was really hard was explaining GIS and explaining the technology behind it. And not only was it hard just to explain the concepts of GIS, but we were using a quad tree data structure back then, which nobody was using. It was so fundamentally different from either raster or vector. Of course, I always explained it as a hybrid raster. Well, then try to explain raster to somebody was equally challenging. In the early days, it was just hard to sell. I don't know if it's that hard to sell anymore. I think people get it more than they used to. But in those opening days when we were selling a desktop mapping system, a quite expensive desktop mapping system at that, just explaining what the business value was very difficult.
That's a really good point. And as we close, what I would like to do is invite our listeners to share their moments like this, many of which happened far after the ones that we were discussing, because I think things are, in fact, much, much different today. That's all the time we have. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the 2012 GeoDesign Summit will be held January 5th and 6th in Redlands, California. At this event, attendees will examine how to integrate GIS-based spatial analysis into the design process and further develop geodesign principles, methods, and technology. For more information and to register to attend, visit geodesignsummit.com. If you'd like to share your story about your aha moment with GIS or your challenging moment with GIS, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment in the comment box where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine. That's at directionsmag.com.
And there's just a few more days to submit your presentation to the 2011 Rocket City Geospatial Conference. We're looking for presentations on cybersecurity and location intelligence, nuclear power plant siting, and if you're in the southeastern U.S., you'll be interested perhaps to join us and talk about the tornadoes that struck the southeastern United States in the early part of spring. You can find more details at the conference website at rocketcitygeospatial.com, and we're also allowing registration for Rocket City Geo Virtual. You can attend the conference virtually by a webcast. See more at the conference website.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.